welcome in on this Monday. Yeah, Dennis Fithy in here, ready to get this podcast going. Sorry that there was a delay today. I was down in Ann Arbor talking with Michigan football players. So I've got a few things of interest for you if you're a Michigan football fan. We'll get right into them. And there was Donovan Edwards, Michigan running back, was made available today by Sharon Moore. Also, safety Makari Page, and then Mason Graham. And I'll give you some insight in what those guys had to say. We'll get to the pro day from over the weekend. I'll give you a thought on Friday when the NFL world went down to Michigan, and the Wolverines were front and center in the NFL world. Get to that. Practice is ongoing. Get you some tidbits there. And we are going to get to Dusty May, Michigan's new basketball coach, who will be introduced tomorrow in Ann Arbor. So plenty of things to get to. I'll just tell you right off the bat, Donovan Edwards, he's got an interesting personality. And if you would have talked to me before today, and if you'd have said, tell me a little bit about Donovan Edwards' personality, I'd have said, I don't know, he sounds a little flippant, you know, fun guy, but that's kind of how I would have looked at it. Today, and this is the progression that you make from, you know, freshman, sophomore, now he is a senior. Donovan Edwards was thoughtful. Donovan Edwards was everything that you would want. You'd say, what did he say? Everything that he said would be exactly what you would want him to say about Michigan, about himself, and about his teammates and what they're trying to do to get back to the mountaintop. Just very impressive. He talked for over 10 minutes today, and I liked all of it from Donovan Edwards. Now, Edwards said, and I asked him, how many touches did he want? Did he want 10 carries, 5 receptions? And he said, you know, he's a team guy, whatever it takes. He'd carry the ball 30 times, which is, again, something that you'd like to hear. And then, you know, taking a look at him, I said, it looked like he had put on some muscle. And I said, where do you want to be with your weight? He said, last year in the championship game, he weighed in at 200 pounds. Today, 214 pounds. Donovan Edwards has been putting the work in. Now, look, I gained 14 pounds over these last 4 days with pizza rolls and pizza times two with the pizza, a couple Fagos, Town Club, classic. I mean, like, too much. That's not the kind of 14 pounds that Donovan Edwards put on. He said with his nutritionalist, through his nutrition, to get the quote right, he didn't say nutritionalist, through nutrition and the weight room is how he did it. That's where he chalked his 14. Yeah, that's a good 14 pounds. My 14, a bad 14 pounds. Now, I immediately put up a little bit of a video of Edwards to my TikTok page, and I believe I can, so maybe you can get a look at him, and you might even be able to hear him. Let's see. Here he is talking about the running backs in Michigan's room. Let's see if I can hear him.
I think that Ben Hall has some Blake Corman in him. I think Cole Cabana has some me in him. I think Brian Kuzdahl has like what I have and Blake has, and Downhill Donahue. Downhill Donahue. There's no other Downhill Donahue. So the nickname in itself explains what Downhill Donahue is all about. So that's just the running back room. You know, it's very diverse. Multiple people can do multiple things.
I will get a little bit more from Donovan Edwards. Now, I didn't get the clarity on who was a Downhill Donahue, but who I'm thinking Downhill Donovan, I'm sorry, Downhill Donahue is with the nickname is Michigan does have a running back named Dunlap, Tavier Dunlap. I've heard him called Tavi. But also someone that I talked with, not Jim Scarcelli, who went to practice, and Scar will join us on Wednesday, and he'll give his thoughts on what he saw at practice. I talked to somebody else who was at practice, and this guy said Tavier Dunlap looked like an NFL back. Now, you'd say, wait a second, NFL back. He didn't say he was going to be an NFL. Physically, imposing, look like an NFL back. And so now I've got Edwards talking about who's downhill Donahue. Donahue, Dunlap, kind of, I could see that. So I didn't get the clarity on that. You can blame me or the other reporters that were there not getting the specifics on who downhill Donahue was, but that's my guess as I sit here. But then it is just a guess on what's going on there. So I thought the other thing that was interesting about the one-armed bandit, 2 years ago, Donovan Edwards, when Blake Corum went down, if you can remember that Illinois game, Corum goes down before the half. If you thought Michigan's season was over, I understand what you were thinking about. Blake Corum was, you know, as you say, he was the undisputed leader. Yeah, it seems like it. It seemed like it then. It still seems like it now. Like heart and soul of the team. You got a lot of those guys when you got a championship team and you got a lot of upperclassmen and all this. But Corum fits the mold of that. So he gets hurt and the season looks like it's over. But the one-armed bandit goes down to Ohio State. The rest is history. Ran all over them with the fourth quarter runs. Backed it up the following week at the Big Ten Championship game when he ran wild. I can remember the first series against TCU in the playoff game that Michigan lost. That it looked like Edwards was going to take off again, like for another like 60, 70 yard run. I think the turf, like Donovan Edwards isn't getting caught. That's one of the first things. Like, that is a slippery turf there. I'm not making excuses for the TCU game. Michigan lost it because of their turnovers and the Philly special. And there's a bunch of things, that fumbling and two pick six, all of that. But what was my, the slippery field. But Edwards asked where he was at now compared to last year. Last year, not just the hand issue, I think it was the thumb issue that he was dealing with, but also he had cleaned up a little something with his knee. And I'll have to go back and listen to the tape, but I think he said that he was disappointed with how he played in the beginning of the year and how things were going. And he's, I believe also that he said something like it's night and day right now to where he's at. But man, he had what you want when you're talking about senior leadership, upperclassmen, leaders of the team, guys that are, you know, going to be the spokespeople for, you know, this year's Wolverine football team. Edwards liked it. Very impressive. Now, I don't know what Makari Page was doing today. Makari Page, number 7 for Michigan. He may have been just joking around, but he was talking about, like, the questions that Makari Page was getting was ones that you would probably guess. What's it like having all new defensive coaches? What does he think of Lamar Morgan? What does he think about Wink? How are they, you know, they doing defensively? Who's playing the corner spot or the nickel spot for Mike Sainra still? And I'll give you that answer. But the thing that jumped out pretty quick was that Page is like, oh, this defense is way different under Wink. He's just philosophically different than Jesse Minter. He said, first of all, you know, there's the age difference, but, you know, we get that. But philosophically, and we know that Wink even said it himself, that he wants to be more aggressive, but he just said everything was different. We followed up with that, saying, now, look, wait a second. You brought wink in to keep the continuity with the defense. Are you sure? I don't know if he was asked, are you, but can you clarify like this, that everything is different? And he said, it's different. So it's something to monitor to see if others jump on this different, this, the scheme, the schematics. I can get a little bit of the language, the terminology, been a little bit different from coach to coach, but is it different as what Mekari Page suggested today? That's what we'll have to see in the weeks and months ahead when it comes to Michigan. Well, we have less than a month for the spring game. We'll have some, I think we'll get some clarity there when we watch Michigan on defense. If it looks any different, you'd say, hey, Mekari Page, it wasn't just joking around back on that, March the 25th. So that's where I'm at when it came down to Michigan football. A couple of the players talking today. Mason Graham was there, as mentioned. And Mason Graham, from somebody who came on in, he wasn't, you know, I didn't think that Mason Graham was just going to show up and be a starter from day one. A defensive tackle with guys like Mozzie Smith and Chris Jenkins, guys that are going to be in the NFL. And, you know, no, Mason Graham. Mason Graham from game one. Look, Charles Woodson didn't start from game one at Michigan. Mason Graham did. And he's an amazing player. Great with his hands. Just a great defensive tackle. Pro Football Focus, you see a lot of this. We'll see a lot of this in the offseason. Pro Football Focus says Mason Graham's the number one defensive tackle in the country. I get it. Every time you watch him, every game since he's been here for 2 years, now going into his third year, he's played well. He's been a difference maker. You look out there and you say, wow, this 55. And then you hear coaches and former players, whenever they talk, they're like, oh, this Graham. He is just, he is one of the great Michigan football players of all time. But very unassuming. You wouldn't, you know, what do you think? You're like, yeah, I'm great. You know, he doesn't do that. But he was asked about teams coming after him in the portal. And he kind of blew that off. Like, and again, you're a Michigan fan, things you don't want to hear. He wants to play at Michigan. He likes Michigan. He's playing for the Wolverines. And he was asked again how aggressive, and he wasn't that aggressive. He made it clear that he wanted to play for the Maize and Blue. So that part, good when it comes down to Michigan. So there it is, some of the football notes of from the players that were available today. Oh, the Nichols. Who is working at Mike Sainristil, Agent Zero spot? Give yourself a pat on the back if you would have guessed Jaden McBurrows. Jaden McBurrows in there at nickel. And then also Cody Jones. Cody Jones. Got to get up to speed on how some of these guys that didn't get much time last year, Jones was one of those guys. So Cody Jones, McBurrows in there at the nickel spot, according to Mekari Page today. So that's what I have. Let's go through and see what the people are saying about this little couple practice tidbits. And Donovan Edwards moving up a weight class, you know, from I don't want to call him a featherweight, but I'm going to give him a light middleweight now, from middleweight to light middleweight, moving up in class. There you go. Let's go through some of the feedback here, and we'll get to the basketball coach, obviously, and some other things as well. Don asked the question, why not start with a two-quarterback system at least until week three? Texas is week two. That would also give USC something else to plan for or think about. Well, Don, that very well may happen. You know, they say that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And I believe that. There are rare cases that that is not true. But if you have two, you don't really have one quarterback. And as I look at this Michigan team, as I look at the what they are going to be able to put out on the field against Fresno State for the opener, this is a Big Ten championship type team. They've got that kind of talent. I'm talking about on offense, and obviously they have it on defense and on offense, with the exception of the question mark of the quarterback. Can they get the quarterback play? If J.J. McCarthy, who was out there at Pro Day wearing the all whites with the smiley face and everything, and wowing the assembled NFL personnel there, where, you know, now he's the talk of the draft and everything else. It's like he's perfect. Such a great player. Such a college, you know, superstar for Michigan. The best Michigan quarterback ever. And won the won it all. National championship quarterback. Won the Big Ten before that. If it was just JJ, if Michigan didn't do what they did 3 years ago with Cade McNamara, I wouldn't have the same thought. I'd say, man, you got to find the next JJ. Yeah, JJ, that's how you win a championship. You get to play like that from number nine. Michigan was pretty good and was able to beat Ohio State, and they were able to get to the college football playoff with Cade McNamara. And Cade McNamara is a pretty good quarterback, but we're not sitting around talking about Cade McNamara like, Cade McNamara is good. I think he gets undersold now by Michigan fans because he laughed, and the way that he laughed, people act like he sucked or something. He didn't. He was a pretty good quarterback. Actually, when he came in against Rutgers in the pandemic and led Michigan back, you saw that you had a gamer in Cade McNamara. Yeah, somebody that had a feel for the position and could play QB, and he did that. So Cade McNamara, you could say, well, he's just a game manager. Cade McNamara was a little bit better than that, a little bit better than people give him credit for. So you don't need J.J. McCarthy. You'd like to get that, one of these, but why not? Is because that's not ideal. You hope that one of these guys seizes this position and is the quarterback all year long. You start talking about, and I'll give you this, Don, if Michigan had Fresno State, Arkansas State, and Bowling Green like they did last year, these last 2 years, they had such easy non-conference schedules, I could see Sharon Moore and company saying, well, let's do it like Harbaugh. Let's just go out there, and we're not going to tell everybody it's the preseason, but let's be honest. We could throw Rod Moore at quarterback, and they're going to go 3-0. Anybody, they could put anybody in there. They could play Mason Graham at quarterback, and they would win the first three games, but they don't. They have Texas. They got to be ready to go. You're not playing around with Texas. In fact, Texas is the key to this season. Texas is going to determine everything. The floodgates are going to open up. Oh, Michigan, what's going to happen with a quarterback? Michigan goes out there and wins, let's say, with Alex Orji under center. Michigan goes out and punches the Longhorns in the mouth and wins that game. Everybody's going to be talking about going to the college football playoffs again and defending the national championship. So, you can't be playing around with two quarterbacks, Don. That's why I don't think you can do that. Jason, Dono has matured so much from his high school days. He will put on 10 to 15 pounds and should still keep his speed, yet be able to take more wear and tear. Nice job. Free Climb says the audio sucks. I'm sorry about that, Free Climb. I'll have to work on that. I thought I had it. I had my mic right up on the podium, so that's disappointing that you said that. And it's surprising that I wasn't able to jack it on up. I'll work on that. I appreciate your feedback, though. Even though I don't like to hear that, it sucked, but it's an honest critique. Old Antoine. I wanted to hear what Antoine had to say about Donovan Edwards and being yoked up and putting some weight on, because Antoine was always thinking that Donovan needed to put on some good weight. Antoine talking about Khalil instead. Andre's thinking that Makari Page is just putting out some disinformation to confuse Ohio State. Scott says he thinks it'll be Khalil Mullings at the end of the season as our number four tailback. Ends the season as our number four tailback. Well, if Khalil Mullings is number four, then you've got a great running back room. Donovan Edwards is an NFL back. Donovan Edwards is a great running back. Donovan Edwards did not have how many, I think now that I'm going back last year, almost every game, people were like, Blake Corum doesn't look as fast, and what's wrong with Donovan Edwards? Every game, Donovan Edwards doesn't look, he goes down at first hit, he goes down. Donovan Edwards doesn't look good. He mentioned that he didn't have the kind of season at the beginning that he wanted. But then, I don't know, Donovan Edwards comes up in big games. I like that about him. He may have had the biggest run against Penn State. And that's when the season, I don't want to say it really started then, but that's what it felt like. They had Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State, the Big Ten Championship game, obviously the Rose Bowl, and then the National Championship. Donovan Edwards started where the games really mattered with one of the best runs of the season. I think it was the first touchdown against Penn State. And, of course, no bigger stage than the National Championship game. And Donovan Edwards had a 41-yard touchdown and a 46-yard touchdown in the first quarter. So, yeah, I'm just talking about Donovan Edwards. Let's go through a few more on the feedback, and we'll talk a little basketball. We'll get to it. We'll get to it, Ryan. And Ryan can't wait for the spring game. Andre's at least heard the audio. He talked about Mullings being Hassan Haskins. Scott said Ohio State had a very good reason for rotating two quarterbacks a few years ago. Yeah, because one of them got hurt. And you're like, that's why they did it. Ohio State has a history of rotating quarterbacks and it backfiring on them. In 1997, the entire season, Joe Germain started for Ohio State, and then Stanley Jackson would get mixed in. They played two quarterbacks. And then Cooper started Stanley Jackson against Michigan and mixed Joe Germain in. Of course, they lost the game. It was the only game that they lost. If you're, I'll give this to any coach, I'll give you some free advice out there, you young coaches that are out there. Giving the opportunity for people to criticize you, and then when you lose, they're going to jump all over it. Playing two quarterbacks is one of the ways that your team doesn't know what's going on. It confuses them, and it gives everybody an opportunity to jump all over you if it doesn't work. So it's a dangerous thing to do. When Michigan lost to Michigan State 3 years ago and they were putting J.J. McCarthy in, the week or two after that, there were plenty of columnists like Harbaugh's a clown putting a, you know, two quarterback system. Now, if they would have not made it to the college football playoff, that would have even been louder. But getting back to Cooper, not only did he play two quarterbacks, and it might have been the other way around. It might have been Jack starting and Joe getting in or whatever it was. They played two of them. But whatever it was the exact opposite when they played Michigan. Just ripe for criticism. Can you imagine being down? No, you can't imagine being an Ohio State fan. But just being a Michigan fan, you played one quarterback all year, and then you get to the Ohio State game and you flip them, and then you lose? What do you think's going to happen? Antoine asking if I remember Khalil Mullings' run when he was in against Washington. He ran people over and almost broke it wide open. But what did Michigan do? Take him out. Well, what happens, Antoine, when you have a stable of running backs, if they were bringing in a little skinny guy who wasn't able to do anything, might have been you might open that up for criticism. But you do rotate running backs in, and I would say the only issue with Mullings not getting more time last year and in the national championship game is Michigan had great running backs in front of him. Edwards, who had already run for 100 yards, and Blake Corum, one of the great Michigan, the greatest Michigan running back in history. So you would have stayed with him, Antoine, and you might have lost the game. Scott, getting to some, Khalil Mullings is I like Khalil Mullings. Khalil Mullings is put together. Khalil Mullings, if we're talking about getting that yard that's needed, put in Khalil Mullings. He's not just a short yardage back, and he won't end up, you're saying he could be the fourth. If he ends up being fourth, Michigan's going to be, they're going to be doing great this year, if that's the deal. Scott thinks Zinter as a third rounder with Corum, two third round gems. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those guys could go in the second round. And those wouldn't be bad picks. So, yeah, I mean, if they're falling to the third round, you'd love to have those guys on your team. No doubt about it. That's it. Okay, let's see. Here's Antoine. He's talking about Mullen should be, he says, quarterback one. I think he means running back one. And Donovan Edwards, number two. Yeah. I don't agree with that, but there's nothing wrong with liking them. But I do like this. Antoine getting in early with some predictions. He thinks Michigan beats Texas by 10 or more. And then look at, we got a lot of people that are coming on in and singing the same tune. Texas is very overrated. How about that? There's a ranking from Scott. Dono, Jordan Marshall, number two. Ben Hull, number three. Khalil Mullings, number four. Well, I do have to mention that if you're just joining us, Jim Scarcelli, who joins us on Wednesday, he did go down to practice on Friday. I talked to Scar yesterday. He didn't get into too much. Said, we'll just do it on Wednesday. He was ready for that. But I did talk with somebody else that was at practice, and you mentioned Ben Hall. I was trying to ask him how everybody looked. And Hall, this guy liked. So I am with you on that. All right, ranking the quarterbacks and ranking the running backs. That's where it ended up. So, yeah, let's get back to where we were at, and that is Dusty. All right, Dusty. Michigan goes out and hires Dusty May. I like this hire by Ward Manuel and Michigan. Dusty May looked like he was the number one available coach out there. Louisville wanted Dusty May, and Louisville, as we know, is in the heart of college basketball country. Louisville used to be a blue blood, and they want to return to glory. And Louisville basketball is like Michigan football here. Like they want to, that's all they do is obsess about beating Kentucky and about getting back to when Louisville basketball was a national power. They wanted Dusty May. So those are two good reasons. The third reason that I like is that Ward Manuel asked John Beilein what he thought. And Beilein may have said that he liked the Colorado State coach, Medved. But John Beilein met with Ward Manuel in Florida during the interview, I believe on Saturday afternoon. And if John Beilein likes talking X's and O's with Dusty May, I'm not telling you that should be good enough for you, because, you know, that might not be good enough for you. You're like, I've got to make my own determination, which I understand. And I have to be honest, last year I watched the NCAA tournament. FAU was fabulous. Now, they almost lost their first game against Memphis. They easily could have. That was a back and forth. It was one of the great games in recent NCAA tournament history. But, you know, the four or five times they could have easily lost it. We're not sitting here talking about Dusty May, because FAU doesn't have their run to the Final Four if they lose in the first round to Memphis. But they didn't, and the rest is history. Now, they brought everybody back. Dusty May did at FAU, and they had a little bit of a disappointing season. They didn't win their league. They didn't win their conference championship game. Actually, they played against Temple. I watched a little bit of that game. They didn't look all that good. You're watching them, like, well, they don't look all that good. Big game. I watched all of the FAU game against Northwestern, and FAU looked terrible. They turned the ball over 21 times, but they found a way to stay in the game to the end, and they had a chance to win it in regulation. Dusty May has an experienced guard, so instead of calling the timeout and drawing something out, he put it in the hands of his guard, who jacked up a three-point shot that I could have put up there. Did nothing to get a better shot. You'd put this in the category of, hey, was that a good last possession? Or a bad last, everybody would say it was a bad last possession. In fact, it was a terrible last possession. Now, that doesn't mean, like, so there's one game, it doesn't mean, Dusty May sucks. But NCAA tournament games do mean something, and they mean a lot more than other things. That's just a little bad taste. I mean, you take the take a step back, and you look at the incomplete body of work and what he's been able to do at a place where has never had any success. They don't know how to spell basketball at FAU. They get no support. And he was able to find players with no NIL. And for these last 2 years, he had an excellent season, clearly, 2 years ago. And then a little bit of a disappointing season this year. I like the hire, even though I just said that this year was a little bit disappointing. It was to him. But I like the that Beilein likes him. And I liked, for a lot of reasons, that Michigan was able, what are they, outmaneuver him, maneuvered or whatever it was. It wasn't just giving more money to Louisville. I would say that if I was out there and you asked me, what's a better job, Michigan basketball or Louisville basketball? I think almost everyone would say Louisville basketball. And it's not to take away from Michigan's basketball tradition. They've gone to the Final Four every decade. That speaks for itself, and it's Michigan. That also speaks for itself. But Louisville, where they're located, you can't do anything about that if you're Michigan. This is football. But Michigan football, if we're talking about what's popular at Michigan 1 through 10, 1 through 9 is, I'll say 1 through 8. It's football, and then, okay, basketball and hockey will be there. And there's people like other sports. It's just Michigan football. People love football. Not saying they don't love it, but they love basketball a whole hell of a lot. So for Michigan to get him, I think that's big. So that's where I'm at when it comes down to Dusty. That's it. And I have heard some different people. Who did I hear? No, I forget his name. Jeff Goodman, a college basketball guy. He's been around the block. He was talking about Dusty May, so I watched a little bit of him on YouTube, and he said that Dusty May picking Michigan over Louisville, that he must have been getting some assurances with NIL or admissions. Now, that's if he's getting assurances with NIL and admissions, now, you know, that would really be something. Michigan did just today crank up a Dusty May collective. Hey, show Dusty how much you're happy that you're here. Shell out a couple, you know, get this collective going. You know, that kind of thing. So that's it. We'll see what the people think about Dusty May, and we start with BK, who says, FAU plateaued. Read that they needed an upgrade to their program's facility badly. Yes, that part is true, BK. There's no doubt about that. OT says, the two things I don't like about Dusty is that he doesn't have a long track record, and if he succeeds at Michigan and Indiana struggles, how fast will he leave Michigan for Indiana? Yeah, you know, the thing, there wasn't a perfect home run hire. If you told me that Dusty May, so this was his sixth year, and the last 2 years he had mostly the same roster that he won with. So you could suggest, you know, he did build it up. He gets credit for that in the 2 years. But having a coach that then brought another roster and then had that success again, that is something that you look for. So that is something that you would want. Now you say you don't like it. I think that's fair. It's a fair thing to want. This other part, if he succeeds at Michigan and Indiana struggles, look, what's 1 year? Michigan is going to have some great year next year, and Indiana is going to come run in. Hey, plenty of coaches. And let's go over the great ones. Let's go over Bob Knight, who Dusty May was a manager for at Indiana. Bob Knight didn't go to Indiana. Who else is great? Mike Krzyzewski. He didn't go to Duke. Who's the greatest basketball coach of all time? It's the Wizard of Westwood at UCLA. He went to Purdue. It doesn't mean that you automatically jump to your alma mater. Now, I know that Harbaugh, you know, came back, and you get the whole Michigan man, and Indiana might try to come after him. But look, to me, that's not even a – if Dusty May in 2 years has Michigan where Indiana's like, we need to poach him because he's doing such a great job, good. Let it happen then. You know, is Michigan, what's Indiana going to bring besides them being their alma mater? Indiana, you can suggest, is a little bit like Louisville. Well, back in the 20th century, Denny Crum and Bob Knight were great coaches. They're dead now. Back in the 20th century, you might want to worry about the Crimson and Cardinal or whatever that is. The striped pants. Indiana, they love basketball in Indiana. They do have that. But hell, he picked Michigan over Hoosier, over basketball country in Kentucky. When I think basketball, I do think Tobacco Road, I think Kentucky, I think Indiana. May already picked Michigan over a hotbed, so I'm not worried about that. You can worry about it, OT. Sorry, I got to scratch my nose. But I'm not worried about it. Scott indicating that there's some language that he can't take the Indiana job. I didn't see that, but how about that? That's a nice little kicker in there. AJ says Bob Knight was his all-time favorite college coach. Great college coach. I don't want to say he was a horrible human being. I think that could be a stretch. I didn't like the way he belittled people. And he had anger management issues, there's no doubt. But belittling people like he did, anytime anybody wants, and look, if, when I was in high school, I would have wanted to play for Bob Knight. I like a hard-driving coach that, you know, throw you into the wall, you know, choke you. All those kind of things. I don't want to choke you. I loved Bob Knight. But his deportment issues, the way that he treated people, he's kind of a blank hole. And he's not nice to people that were under him. And he had a repeated pattern of that. So, you know, Bob Knight, great coach, not the greatest dude all the time there. So you guys can all look back and, you know, talk about the nice things about Bob Knight, but he was also a prick. Well, that's it. All right. Here's Travis is talking about we need to be relevant again. Well, it's going to take some time. Scott Knight was the best coach in college basketball history. He did more with less than any other coach. He refused to kiss kids' ass like Coach K and didn't cheat like John Wooden. Yeah, but he had his own issues. He wasn't a good person. Two people underneath him. He treated them like jerks. He didn't treat people well. No. But we're just talking about him as a basketball coach. Yeah, I would put him number three. You can say anything you want about John Wooden. We can talk about cheating. If we start talking about cheating, is Bob Knight the only – that Bob Knight would choke his players and Bob Knight would take a potted plant, throw it at his secretary? Oh, but that wasn't out on the floor, and that wasn't the Wizard of Westwood. So I don't know when we get into all the cheating parts. College basketball is a filthy, rotten, dirty sport when it comes down to cheating. You're talking about Coach K kissing kids' ass. Coach K would be number two on my list behind the Wizard of Westwood. And then I would put the general number three, but he was great. Things like that matter. You know, everything matters. So, yeah, cheating like you're talking about, those kings can matter to you. But what kind of person you are matters. Remember that. If you're going to remember anything about this podcast or take it, how you treat people in life matters. Bob Knight wasn't nice to people. He was to some of his peers, but people that are underneath him, not so much. Oh, there you go. That's what made Bobby Knight, that he was a bad human being or acted like a bad human being. I don't know if he's a bad human being. John Wooden had a, what did he, was it a trainer? Was it a friend? Was it a booster? I think it's a booster. A very popular booster in UCLA history that everyone believes gave money to all those players. It said so much. I should know the guy's name. It used to just be like right there. Everybody would say, oh, what are you talking about? Yeah, Wooden didn't cheat. It was his right-hand man, his booster. He acted like, oh, Kareem was just ready to come in. Lou Alcindor. Player after player after player. But, you know, people do believe that John Wooden cheated. There's no doubt about that. That's it. So there it is with Dusty. And the last thing is practice. Michigan continues that. And you heard a little bit about what the players had to say today. And I look forward to hearing from Jim Scarcelli on Wednesday, who was at practice. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm sitting here today. And here's AJ, who says Bob Knight's press conferences were gold. Why do you think Isaiah Thomas was so damn tough? Well, yeah, he was hard on his players. But, you know, in the press conference, Antoine, like, you liked it. The camera was on. But you know, you're working for... You're just working as a reporter, and you ask Bob Knight a question, and he's like, starts yelling at you, and you ask my SID. You know, he belittled people. So you give him a little. I don't know. You give him the pass, like, so yeah, it was all fun that he always had like a, you know, stick up his ass. And, you know, sure, if it was the media, who cares? Media, a bunch of blank holes anyways. F them. But, you know, he didn't treat his secretary. He didn't treat, he just wasn't good to people. Oh, great coach. Not good to people. Oh, if you want to make him your hero, go ahead. You know, that's the problem, though. It becomes like, so I know that. I know that from seeing how Bob Knight acted, you know, how he acted over the years. You know, John Wooden, the part about the cheating, he seems like he couldn't have been a more stand-up person, John Wooden. like everything. He just exuded just how you would want class and how he would treat and how his, what his former players, you know, thought of him, just everything. The kind of basketball player he was at Purdue. And coming out of Indiana. So, and there you go. And then Coach K, you know, people don't like Coach K because you're a Michigan fan. I get that. So you have a hard time like giving Coach K his credit. You know, Coach K cheated too. Like, so that's it. Everybody cheats. That's the part about it. Coach K, you know, Zion Williamson was, in, you know, he was getting a house through Duke. Duke fans know this, but they don't care. Because it's Coach K, you know, and Coach K, he has been able to, you know, go through that. Look, if it's your team that's doing the cheating, you minimize it and just focus in on everything that's going good and think everybody else is a bunch of clowns. And if it's the other teams, then you just lob all it. That's sports. That's how it works. And we got to go through a little bit of that over this last year. So. The shoe was on the other foot. So there's the OT talking about the entitled General Bob Knight. There you go. Well, hopefully Dusty May's got a little bit. If he's got some Bob Knight in him, hopefully there's a lot of good. The teaching, the X and O's, the drive, the coach that he was. Hopefully he's got a lot of that. That he took from the general when he was just a student manager there. Hopefully May doesn't have those other parts. Maybe he's not going to, you know, throw a potted plant at a secretary or start, you know, screaming at somebody. Well, we'll see. That's it. Count 22 says Bob Knight was real. Got to give him that. Yeah. A real ass is what he was. So he was a real ass. And if you like that, that's okay. Jason has a claim to fame. It was beating Dane Fife in a three-point challenge in PCB on spring break in 98. Won $200 and sent him packing. Hey, I'll tell you what, Dane Fife, and it's Dane Fife, who his brother went to Michigan and played with the Fab Five. Did their dad coach at Michigan or play at Michigan? One of those two. Or was he a longtime high school coach? I guess I should know that. Dan Fife, right? But Dane went to Indiana. It's all coming around full circle. And Dane was a tremendous high school basketball coach. So was Dugan. For that matter. okay. All right, Antoine. Now you got me laughing. Now... I'm planning on going to the Dusty May news conference tomorrow. And you know, I'm going to go in with a question about name, image, and likeness. I'm going to go in with a question about admissions. I'm going to go in with a question about the style of play and player that he's looking for. And I was thinking about the Indiana connection, you know, would you want to go back to Indiana? And, you know, that'd be really easy to worm around if you're a coach. You say, look, I'm the Michigan coach right now. It hadn't even crossed my mind. I love Indiana, but I'm Michigan's coach. You'd say something like that. But the what did you take from Bob Knight question is not a bad one that I think is going to be on my list of things to ask. But to break a little bit of humor in there, Antoine, if I ask about Bob Knight, maybe after he answers about, oh, the general was a tactician or whatever he would say, oh, the way he ran practices, that's why they called him the general. I'd say, are you going to go out there and throw a chair on the first day? Now that lighten things up a little bit, maybe. I like it. Dan coached at Clarkston. There you go. Did the general ever chew my ass out? No, he never did. I know. It's like the general was a great basketball coach. He was just a jerk. So then you get talking about Bob Knight. Maybe we should just talk about the good things, and then, and maybe that's the best way to do it in sports. Just talk about all of the good things, and then when people have the bad things, don't even, you know, it's kind of just talk about the good things. But we'll see. Please, God, no more shooting three-pointers all day. Well, three-pointers are part of it. Was that Scott that was, or BK earlier this year? He's like, he's had enough of the three-pointers. All right. Well, join us on Wednesday. We'll have Scars. He'll be fired up. I'll be fired up talking about Michigan and what he saw at practice. Until then, John Beilein was running a clean program. I think you're right about that. Ask him how. I'm not going to go to that. Hey, do you think you could take Greg Gard? And you have any animosity between? No. But the chair throwing, if you can find a way to mix that in, is not bad. So we'll see if that happens. Thanks so much. Join us over on the Maize and Blue Review. And right now we'll be talking about Michigan, Donovan Edwards, all day, all night. And until Wednesday, I'll talk with you then. Tonight, we've got another podcast coming your way. The birthday boy, Josh Henschke, along with Trevor McHugh and company, will be on for you there. So we got you covered. Until then, thanks for watching. Smash that like button. Have a great day. Take care.